CAP Radio in Sacramento. This is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. President Trump has made good on a promise to crack down on immigration. The first year of his second term is marked by a wave of mass deportations that his administration says are non-citizens with criminal backgrounds, although there has been reporting that U.S. citizens have been caught up in this increased ICE enforcement. Since the inauguration, polling has gauged California voters' evolving attitudes on the expedited removal taking place without due process, a hearing before a judge. Wendy Fry is an investigative journalist who reports on poverty and inequality for CalMatters' California Divide team. CalMatters is a nonprofit newsroom that partners with public media stations across the state. She joins us now with how some voters are shifting their views on Trump's harshest immigration enforcement policies. Welcome.
Hi, Vicky. Thanks for having me.
So you've been following the Trump administration's immigration response since the inauguration. We're approaching, of course, the end of the year. The news has just been relentless. When you slow down, you take a big picture. What have you learned most from your reporting this year?
Yeah, I would say that this crackdown is much broader than promised and much broader than the rhetoric that the Trump administration is producing. You know, we went into this year with the Trump administration promising the largest mass deportation campaign in U.S. history. And we have seen very, very dramatic and very huge numbers of people being deported. But they also promised to go after the worst of the worst, right? The criminals, mostly. And what we're seeing that the data shows is that there's actually this huge dragnet that is pulling in people with very, very old or very, very minor convictions. And it's also pulling in a huge number of people who have no criminal record whatsoever.
How many people have been arrested since January?
So the data that we have is there's some issues with transparency. So we only have ICE as the arresting agency. But so there's other agencies that are able to arrest people, like Border Patrol or like these joint task forces are also able to take a large number of people into custody. But from the data that we have more than 220,000 arrests. And of that, more than a third of the people have no criminal record. Mm.
How does that compare to prior administrations, more than 200,000 in the first year in office?
It's more. It is more. I wouldn't say it's even slightly more, but I wouldn't say it's, you know, more than double or anything like that. So it is a lot more people. There is a system, you know, there has been an immigration system in place that allows people due process. And we're seeing a lot of that dismantled. And so that's allowing the Trump administration to accelerate how fast this is being done. But that sort of gets to the point of engaging people's reactions to this, because the question is, how much are voters willing to see like due process be hollowed out, or, you know, people being pressured into signing these voluntary removal forms by the really inhumane conditions in detention?
Yeah, well, let's dive into due process, because that does come up a lot. I mean, you focus on expedited removal. Tell us about the manner in which people are being detained and deported.
Great. So expedited removal, it lets immigration officers, so not people who are judges or not people trained in immigration law, but it lets low-level immigration officers decide that anybody can be deported without a hearing before an immigration judge. And often it's a very quick review of a file. Sometimes there's language barriers in between the immigration officer and the person being detained. It used to, previously and historically, it's only been used right at the border. So for people who have just crossed, being removed right back to where they crossed over. The Trump administration, both his first term and now, has always sought to expand the use of it. And we are seeing it being expanded and the administration pushing to allow people that are taken into custody hundreds and hundreds of miles away from the border in the interior of the United States. And then also people who have any type of past conviction or charge, pending charge.
Historically, how common or unusual is this process, expedited removal?
It's been used since the early 90s. The Border Patrol started using it right by the border. There is lawsuits. The ACLU is pushing back and trying to get an order to stop how they're trying to use it. But so far, they have been able to expedite remove people so that they don't even have their case heard before a judge.
Yeah. And you mentioned that there's this dragnet of, you know, the promise was for mass deportations that targeted criminals, but the scenarios and circumstances vary from one person to the next. And there's also been instances of U.S. citizens getting caught up in immigration enforcement during raids and getting detained. Have you been able to get a sense of who has been targeted?
Right. I mean, and I think the reasoning for that, right, if you think about it logically, there simply aren't that many murderers and rapists and criminals with these very serious violent pasts, you know, out in society running around. So the dragnet has been able to catch, you know, tens of thousands of people beyond that. And yeah, it, I think the push is to kind of normalize that as everybody, you know, who has crossed the border without permission, without federal authorization, you know, the Trump administration's rhetoric is, oh, all those people have committed a crime, but it's actually not a crime to be in the United States without federal authorization. And in many cases, that's the only way someone can start their asylum claim is to get a foot on U.S. soil. And so I think there's an attempt to kind of shift what we define as criminal behavior and not, and kind of mix in these different things. But I think people like voters and regular residents really do have a distinction between someone who's a violent, you know, drug trafficker and sex trafficker versus, you know, someone who 30 years ago maybe was involved in a robbery or something, right? So people do make that distinction, but I think there's an effort to kind of close the door on that.
Yeah, and there is a lot of polling out there, and that's what your recent reporting focuses on. How have the attitudes of California voters evolved this year?
Right. I think the biggest thing that I saw most recently is that there's large majorities across political affiliation who want immigrants facing deportation to have due process, right? So they want people to be able to have their case heard before a judge and decided on an individual basis rather than, you know, this huge group of 300 that we arrested, they're all getting deported and it doesn't matter. We're not going to hear what the individual narratives are or what the individual circumstances are of each person's past mistake, right? And I think that, you know, even independents, even Republican women are uncomfortable with that and have kind of a lot of skepticism about letting ICE do that, about letting the federal government kind of expand this operation into taking away people's due process. Because I think for a lot of people, the question is, okay, then what happens after that? If we let the federal government take away due process for this certain group of people, might they turn and take due process away from everyone, right?
Yeah, and the new poll that you led with is from Goodwin Simon Strategic Research. Who are they?
Right. So they are an independent, you know, research firm. I had never covered any story with them before, but they do, their research is, you know, also backed up, I guess, by other surveys across California that are also finding sort of the same, they're coming to the same conclusions. So it's an independent public opinion research firm, and they did this polling and they also do message testing. They talked to a very large group of California voters, 1,200. And then, you know, like I said, it was 84% of Democrats, 61% of independents, and 54% of Republicans agree that even people with past records or past convictions deserve a chance to have their case heard before a judge, before they get deported.
Okay. And when it comes to this survey, I mean, there were two narratives that were presented to voters. Talk to us about these scenarios and how that helped shaped those who were surveyed.
Yeah. So they got into really specifics, like really specific, you know, individual who I think was from Mexico, was brought to the country as a baby. So, you know, that individual didn't make the decision as for themselves to cross the border, but then they grew up here in the United States, had a past conviction. And, you know, then the question was, he was in the process, I think, of the attorney was getting his paperwork together to present to a judge, but he was deported back to Mexico before he was able to present, you know, his information to the judge. And then the other case, we are seeing quite a lot of people from Southeast Asia, being targeted. And I think this individual, I think I want to say Cambodia was where he was from. And the same, you know, a past conviction when he was young, like in his teens. And then since then, he had turned his life around and had started doing all these good things in the community. And when people heard about that, they thought, wow, this person is a contributing person to society. And I would not want to see them deported without going before a judge first.
And you mentioned that the findings were bipartisan and, you know, they looked at Democrats, they surveyed independents as well as Republicans, but it was commissioned by the Immigrant Legal Resource Center and the National Day Labor Organizing Network. Both are pro-immigrant organizations. So some may think, wouldn't the results be skewed?
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think that that is, something that's up for readers and listeners to decide on their own. I think it's important context to put into a story, but, you know, it is true that the poll was commissioned by two immigrants' rights groups, but it's also true that their findings, it's also true that the firm is, you know, independent in itself and that the findings are kind of lining up, I guess, with what other independent polls are finding, like the UC Berkeley Possibility Lab. And then the PPEIC also had some surveys that are kind of finding the same thing about public opinion.
Yeah, and how that's shifting in terms of the job that ICE is doing, or the UC Berkeley Possibility Lab survey actually focused on Latino voters who supported Trump, correct, for this current election?
Right. And you know what I find so interesting about it is we are seeing this slip, right, between, or we're seeing people regretting their decision to vote for Trump, but we haven't seen any of that reflected yet in anything that Republican leaders are saying publicly or statements that they're putting out. And I'm wondering when, you know, or if any elected Republican officials are going to start saying at any point, like, okay, this has gone far enough, or okay, that's something I'm not comfortable with now. So far, I haven't heard any of that from any state leaders or any congressional Republicans.
How has the Department of Homeland Security and arm of the Trump administration responded to these polls and these surveys?
I think DHS, by and large, completely rejects the idea that what they're doing is out of step or out of line with what the public wants, right? Like they're in their statements to me and to others, to all news, they are usually saying things like, you know, Trump was elected by the people and he is delivering on the mandate that the voters elected him to do that shows strong support. And I think that's really important because I wonder, you know, when they were originally stating what they were going to do, I wonder how much of the general public would have actually supported if they said what they're doing now. You know, if they had gone out and said, what we really want to do is round up every immigrant that's here in the country and every gardener and every person that we think looks different than the image that we're putting out of what we think America should look like. If they had said that, would they have gotten elected? Would the public have supported what they had planned to do all along? You know?
Yeah. I'm also curious because California is a solidly blue state. Although more Californians voted for Trump this go around, the state handedly went to former Vice President Kamala Harris. So does this polling, how does it stack up and compare to national attitudes towards increased immigration enforcement?
Yeah, so California is still very polarized, I think. You know, there's different pockets of areas that think very differently than the rest of the very blue state. But compared to the rest of the country, it's, you know, in general, more pro-immigrant and more skeptical of ICE. And, you know, more, I think, way more open to state-level protections for immigrants and state resources for immigrants. About 70% of people here disapprove of ICE's job performance right now. That's according to the PPIC's poll, right? And then 60%, according to this most recent Goodwin poll, of Californians support state and local governments, you know, making their own policies to protect people and enforcing those. So for the police to go out and, you know, not be cooperating with ICE in any way.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters reporter Wendy Fry about the shift in attitudes among some California voters towards the Trump administration's crackdown on immigration and deportations. So you mentioned the state response and state support and resources. You also reported on California's prison system. How are they involved with ICE and why?
So, right. I have been maybe embarrassingly studying the emails between the Corrections Department and ICE for three years now, I think. And so it gives me a very, very strong sense of exactly how the system works. And so, you know, like the article says, the state prisons have transferred nearly 10,000 people. I think it's like 9,500 over to ICE for deportation since Governor Newsom took office. And they also just go directly to the prison and they pick people up right there on their day that they're supposed to be getting out of prison. They show up and take people right straight into custody from that. The thing that I think might surprise people, though, about these communications is it's not just limited to people who are inmates in their custody, who are their term is removable. But it's also, you know, they provide ICE with vast amounts of information about, you know, everything from like their family, where their family members work, the phone calls, the contents of the phone calls that they've had between their family members, anybody who visits someone who is incarcerated, they get all this information from ICE, and they work very, very closely with them to, you know, help ICE deport people.
But the state has a sanctuary law, right? So how does that not apply?
So there was a carve out. So when they were, discussing and passing SB 54, they stopped and said they wanted to, the arguments and discussions and negotiations around getting this law passed into law were about, making a carve out that allows the Correction Department to continue cooperating with ICE for people with past criminal convictions. And Governor Newsom has also said he would reject any kind of amendment or any kind of law that came back and tried to limit CDCR's cooperation with ICE. So he thinks that what we have now strikes the right balance between what the public wants and protecting people from immigrant families or protecting people who are even related to someone who's incarcerated, right? So that's kind of where the politics. I think also, Speaker Rivas has also said, you know, that they support people with very serious violent crimes being deported.
Yeah, I think some people might find that surprising, given that you have Democratic leaders in California, from the governor to Senator Alex Padilla to, as you mentioned, Speaker Robert Rivas, denouncing, you know, the immigration enforcement that has increased in Trump's second term. And you've been following it since the beginning, since the inauguration. I mean, what do you want people to take away from your ongoing reporting? Because as you've laid out, I mean, the views on immigration enforcement, it's more complicated. It can change from one person, one scenario to the next.
Right. I think what I keep coming back to in my reporting is we're just in the middle of this massive experiment in very highly ramped up immigration enforcement. And California is the test tube, right? It's all starting in California, and then they expanded out to the rest of the country. And I just wonder, like, are we comfortable with what we're doing now? And if the administration plans to accelerate it even more or take even more aggressive stances, you know, what level are we going to continue to be comfortable with as a state?
Wendy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Vicky.
Wendy Fry is an investigative journalist with the CalMatters California Divide team, discussing the shift in attitudes among some California voters towards the Trump administration's crackdown on immigration and mass deportations. Up next, the Latino community is a growing powerhouse in Sacramento's economic landscape. We'll check in with local businesses about the successes that they've seen and the work that still lies ahead. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.